On this episode of the Rocklopedia Fake Bandica, we have our ear to the grapevine, our claymation feet tapping, and our skins puckering in that warm Fresno sun as we discuss the hottest, fakest band to come out of the dried fruit industry. Sit back and get ready for the only podcast with two full scoops in every box. It's the Rocklopedia Fake Bandica. Yes, it's the Rocklopedia Fake Bandica, the only podcast that's naturally dried in the sun and free of any added sugars, preservatives, and juices, just like today's subject. Before we get there, introductions, I'm Charles Rempel. To my right is Alan Benson.
Hello.
And to his right is Team Mike Childs.
Hello.
And to his right is Charles Rempel.
Ooh, funny how that works.
We're a triangle. That's what it is.
So guys, tell me, what's the first thing you think of when you hear this song? Okay, well, if you're of a certain age, you probably think of the history of Motown when Marvin Gaye topped the charts for 7 weeks with it.
It's a great song.
And a great song, yeah. It's the second biggest Motown hit of all time. Does anyone here know the first? Did anyone Google based on the notes of this episode?
The first, the all-time greatest
Motown hit.
I'm going to go with I Want You Back by the Jackson 5.
That's a good guess. Do you like?
Baby Love by Holland Dozier Holland.
No, much later than both of those. Endless Love.
Really?
That duet between Diana Ross and Lionel Richie. It was number one on the Hot 100 for 9 weeks in 1981.
Wow. That is crazy.
Yes.
I totally remember that song.
Oh, yeah. It is. It's very memorable.
Okay, so this is only the second biggest hit, but it's been in the chart like 6 times or something crazy like that?
Well, yes, because it was also, you may think of it, if you think of this song, you may think of the Creedence Clearwater Revival version of it from 1970. So the best thing for that for me is always the way that he says "hoid."
It's a dirtier version. You can hear the dirt on
swampy.
This
swampy.
It's crazy they played it. It was like 7 minutes long, and they actually played it on the radio quite a bit. I mean, it was a charting song. You know, they had a shorter version of it.
Yeah,
but yeah, yeah. But if you're of a certain age that the three of us are, you may think of the 1979 post-punk version by The Slits.
I have not once thought of that song.
Really?
I've never heard that version before.
I am of a certain age, and again, I have also never heard that version, but thank you. I'm going to go like buy that.
It's a great album.
It is.
I bought that album in Planet Records in Kenmore Square, and it had nothing to do with the fact that the band was covered with mud and topless on it at all. So
not a thing.
But yes, not a thing about that. So there also is another notable one from around the same time of Roger Troutman from Zap. He also had a take on it.
No, wrong, but close. Way too close.
It was. It's got that beat, right?
It does have the working at the car wash beat.
And that's Roger Troutman from Zap, not the movie Zapped, but yes. Zap is the band.
Yeah, okay. That is weird. Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
And that version also goes on for something crazy, yeah. Like 8 or 9 minutes.
And it also charted. It was number one on the R&B charts in 1981.
So. Oh, wow.
But if you were around in the 1980s, so you probably know it from the Motown revival that happened, that weird little, all of a sudden in the mid-80s when everyone was all about music from 20 years before, from The Big Chill in 83, and then there was Dirty Dancing in 87. That was when the Grapevine was famously used in the beginning of the Marvin Gaye version, in the beginning of The Big Chill, as like non-diegetic music. Hey kids, this, you're learning something. And
look that up.
Do You Love Me was in Dirty Dancing, and that actually came close to the top 10 in 1988, which I remember they made a video for it and everything. It was like very strange, these Motown songs, but the peak of the song and possibly of Western culture entirely came in 1986 when an upstart group of Vitis Vinifera took the world by storm with their version.
California raisins from the California vineyards.
Don't you know that I heard it through the grapevine?
Sounds better than what I got.
So yeah, so that was the song. That was the big ad. That was like
the, and that's the big band that we're talking about today.
It is the big band we're talking about, like the California Raisins. The
California Raisins.
Their first ad for Gen X was like when Elvis humped Ed Sullivan or whatever it was happened.
Whatever.
The boomers are always going on about.
It was something they couldn't show. They had to show him above waist.
Exactly. Because he and Ed Sullivan were completely naked. anyway, but seriously, this was a huge hit. This ad was everywhere.
It's 1986, and suddenly we look on our televisions and we see raisins. You couldn't look away.
It is wild that they have news stories about commercials. I mean, it always comes up around the Super Bowl to talk about commercials.
Yeah.
But that there's something that this iconic that everybody was talking about.
This is the Smithsonian. That's Faith Davis Ruffins from the National Museum of American History, which the raisin figurines are in there. And they were there. Ads were everywhere. Everyone was talking about them. And you're right, Charles. It's normally like that first Monday after the Super Bowl, when all the hungover writers have filed their stories the night before about the best commercials.
Exactly. Which ones won and which ones lost.
But do you guys remember these? I mean, I remember them well.
Oh, yeah. Very well.
They were everywhere. It was huge. They were very popular.
And for me, it was like the claymation. I remember thinking like the Ruffins pointed out, it's very different. It was very eye catching. And
it was a complete, I mean, there's always been, spreads of claymation throughout the whole, animation history, but it hadn't been popular since the 50s with Gumby or something.
So 50s, that's your era, right, T-Mike?
Why you?
No, but were you, did you watch Gumby? Like, you're a little bit older than us. I figured you might have been on the era of Gumby.
Yes, but, yes, I did watch Gumby, but I watched the 1988 revival of Gumby where he had a fake band, which we'll get into some other time.
Oh,
I do remember watching Penny from Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh, right.
Oh, she Penny was so off-putting
with her penny eyeballs and everything. Yes. I remember her as claymation.
And I remember, I think Galen has talked to Galen Black, who's also a member of groups, talked about watching Davy and Goliath, I believe.
Right. Yeah.
Which is the strange art cloaky Christian.
I believe he does Davy and Goliath cosplay, if I remember correctly.
Oh, that's possibly could be. So there are really two stories to tell about with the California Raisins. So there's a story about how the ads got made and all the people behind the ads. And I'll talk a little more about that. And then after the commercial break, I'll pass it off to T-Mike and he can tell the in-universe story of the band, because they had a whole mythology that they created and how these like raisins were struggling to make it big in the
Which is not a sentence you expected to say, is it?
Not today, no. maybe in my work life, yes. So come with me, won't you? The time, the mid-1980s. Cocaine is everywhere. The place, the Central Valley of California. Sunlight and heat and horribleness is everywhere. But Central Valley is home of America's raisin industry. And Saito, do you guys remember the mini series they did about Fresno? It's called Fresno.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
That was a TV event for me.
It was Carol Burnett.
Carol Burnett was awesome. Dabney Coleman.
Charles Grodin was in it, yep. I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The fact, you know, I was a big comedy fan, and of course anything with Carol Burnett, you're she's so great. But then the fact that this was like a prime time miniseries, I mean, any miniseries then was an event. It was a television event that you must watch. And usually every television event miniseries was, you know, long and boring and, overly dramatic. And this really took the way, just went straight for the throat for that, with that stuff. Yeah. And it was like the fact that there was like a comedy miniseries blew my mind to start with. It was great.
I mean, it was a parody of Dallas, Dynasty, Falcon Crest, those kind of stuff. Primetime soap Knots operas. Landing. Yeah.
So, at the time, I guess Fresno was kind of, I guess, well, that was the zeitgeist.
Fresno is Raisin Central.
Exactly. Yes.
Almost 100% of America's raisins are grown within a 60-mile radius of Fresno, and every American needs to know that.
That sounds like a Wikipedia knowledge right there.
Shut up, you.
Right now, the Fresno newspaper, they're like Google.
I think they're the bee. Yeah, okay. I think so.
Their Google search thing is just going off because like all these mentions of Fresno. Anyway, so the ads came about because of a group called CalRAB, which was the California Raisin Advisory Board, which was founded in the 40s to when like raisin sales were really stagnating, probably after World War II, I believe. So its purpose was to sell America on eating more raisins. So guys eat raisins?
I have. I remember growing up, I ate a lot more.
Yeah, I ate a lot. Mm-hmm. I remember as a kid, I think.
There were some good, you know, gags you can do with raisins. Yes. I remember like everybody, you know, all the baseball players had their tobacco that they would, so you could put a big wad of raisins in your mouth and spit out raisin juice and you act like you're like some baseball player.
Always good.
Do you remember the guys who would like roll their cigarettes up in their sleeves?
Yeah.
I remember kids rolling their raisin boxes up in their sleeves to look cool, like all those like 18-year-olds with their cigarettes in their sleeves. I mean, it's a snack that just doesn't ever seem to expire.
Yeah.
So you can like find it in your cabinet like 3 months later and you're like, these are fine.
Yeah. But they do expire. They get like really hard and glop together.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Maybe I've just not found bad raisins yet.
Eat too many of them.
It could be.
I mean, I prefer them like in like an oatmeal cookie, but I did eat more raisins once I had kids because we got raisins for the kids. And then they wouldn't eat them. So I had to eat them so they wouldn't just, you know, be wasted.
I'm sorry. Oatmeal, the correct way of having an oatmeal cookie is an oatmeal craisin cookie. Whoa. Walked so that craisins could fly.
That's true. Yes. You got me.
Craisins are so much better than raisins.
I mean, a craisin, so that is a, that's not the actual term for a dried cranberry, though, is it? Isn't that just a marketing tool, the craisin?
I
just assume.
Has their law firm got to you, Charles? We don't want you sullying our trademark.
Big Craisin has got to
you. Big Craisin's got it. Anyway, according to Stardom is Feet of Clay for California Raisins, which is a great, great title, a 1988 article in the Orlando Sentinel, CalRAB was mainly promoting raisin consumption via raisin recipes, press releases, and the Raisin Queen beauty contest.
That's horrible.
That really does sound like a double-edged sword.
Raisin Queen.
Congratulations, you're the Raisin Queen. And she just looks in the mirror for hours going, is it because I'm all wrinkly and purple like a raisin? Or is it because, you know, I have talent?
Fresno has another thing I definitely did not look up on Wikipedia or anything, goodness. Is that Fresno has been pushing raisins like since, okay, they've been having Raisin Day since 1909.
Wow.
And been pushing Raisin Week since at least 1913.
You know, tomorrow is National Raisin Day. That's why we're
doing this episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're talking a lot about raisins. So we're getting ahead of all the raisin hoopla that will be happening tomorrow. Good for us.
If you listen to this podcast the day it drops.
Yes.
If you listen to it 3 weeks later, you're going to be so confused.
Oh, you are. So anyway, 1972, CalRAB reached out to Foot Cone and Belding, which was at the time one of the biggest ad agencies in the world, still is. It's a giant ad agency. They handle accounts from like all the big companies, and they started running ads. And so the first campaign was that became famous for was that how raisins were, quote, the natural snack. And they were trying to connect with like hippie moms, and it didn't really work. And then in the early 80s, they tried again with the Nature's Candy campaign.
In the babysitting business, you need some tricks of the trade. See, kids always want this snack or that snack. But I know how fussy mothers are about those things, so I recommend raisins. Kids love them because they're sweet and chewy. Mothers like them because they're sweetened by the sun, not manufactured. I like them because they save me a lot of headaches. We know raisins are natural, but kids just know what they like. So, give them raisins and call them Nature's Candy.
Raisins from California, Nature's Candy.
Do you guys recognize that voice?
I definitely recognize
that voice. Who is it?
It's Molly Ringwald.
The 1980s movie queen.
America's Sweetheart.
You can hear, some of the inflections and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's Molly Ringwald.
Well, she wasn't America's Sweetheart. That was Julia Roberts, right?
I think every other year they renamed somebody.
She was America's Ginger. Sweetheart. America's Ginger Sweetheart.
We didn't have gingers back then. We just had redheads.
Who could love a redheaded woman? My wife is Jamie. Hello, I love you so much. Anyway.
I didn't say that, Kelly. Alan said it. To my red-haired wife.
Anyway. So I vaguely remember this ad. Like, I remember.
I don't think I ever saw it.
I don't know.
I've just listened to it once.
But I mean, the joke about raisins being nature's candy is like weirdly that's become like very viral. Is that like it appeared in there was in Parks and Rec. Chris Traeger mentioned that raisins were nature's candy. It was an episode of Daria. It was in that 70s show. It was in the Venture Brothers.
The Simpsons had a reference to it. Yeah. They expanded out just fruit is nature's candy. But
I mean, there's like tons of comedies. And so going back to the Orlando Sentinel story about this campaign. They have this great quote from Foot, Cone, and Belding's Veronica Kloogian. People had flat to negative feelings. We did focus group studies and asked, if raisins were people, what kind of people would they be? Respondents said nerdy, wimpy, negative people, not hip.
That's crazy that they actually did something.
I want my food to be hip.
That is crazy.
Who wants to eat nerdy?
Do you think they had a whole list of foods that they went through? Like what is a banana? Like what kind of person, if a banana was a person, what kind of person would it be?
It'd be a person who wears sunglasses and dances.
Yeah. I don't know if it's affected, but I'm thinking of Job from Arrested Development.
Yes.
Now it could have been just because of the banana grabber character from that thing, but kind of like a slightly inappropriate, slightly loud kind of, I could see that.
I was assuming you were going for the dancing banana and the peanut butter jelly time meme.
I mean, slightly inappropriate, just loud and not the right time all the time for that.
We're not here to talk about bananas, people.
That's true. Let's get back to
raisins.
So what would be the hippest fruit or vegetable then, I guess, is the question.
Well, the goal is to make raisins the hippest, coolest fruit and or vegetable.
And would passion fruit have a Spanish accent?
French. It's got to be French.
Passion fruit. Hello, passion. So FC, anyway, FCB went back to the drawing board, and CalRab went out and got a $3 million grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to fund a new campaign. So with all that cash, they signed a deal with writer Seth Warner and the great animator Will Vinton. So do you guys know Will Vinton?
Do I know Will Vinton? I don't think I do. I know him? What has he done?
So he won an Emmy for like the best animated short film in 1975, which was like the first time that he got recognized. He started Will Vinton Studios in the 70s, and they did the video for John Fogerty's Vans Can't Dance.
There was a big scandal because they had to John Fogerty had to change the lyrics
from Zans Can't Dance.
Zans Can't Dance because he was referencing a specific person who did not want
to
be referenced.
We have so many CCR references, and this is only episode 6.
Yes, it is.
We have to dial back the CCR references.
It's just going to be every episode. Become a CCR podcast.
We need at some point just see about if people are buying or listening to more CCR after this podcast.
Maybe we can get FCB on and do some market research. So anyway. He was probably most famous for the Gnome King animations in the Return to Oz and the incredibly creepy The Adventures of Mark Twain claymation.
Thanks. I had blocked that out of my memory, Alan. Thanks a lot.
Well, for those of you who haven't blocked it out, here's a little bit of it.
Fame is a vapor, the only earthly certainty. is oblivion.
Welcome to the mysterious stranger.
What?
Hello.
Who are you?
An angel.
What's your name?
Satan.
Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Only it's sure a sorry name for an angel.
So we're going to link.
That is more disturbing than I would think of Mark Twain.
Yeah. Why, Alan? Why?
Well, don't worry. We'll link to the videos of these so you can see. But actually, that was, I believe, saved on YouTube. I just linked to a thing saying the creepiest scene of any child, the children's movie.
We will have to put a warning on that, I think, for people to look at. Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, so sort of like the Motown revival, there was a big burst of claymation in the 80s and early 90s. And I'm not really sure why, other than maybe there was like a technological thing that made it easier to do. But think of this Will Vinton stuff, which was, he also did the Noid.
Oh, the Noid. I know the Noid. Okay, you avoid him.
You do avoid him.
You avoid the Noid.
That's, Pizza Hut would like you also to avoid the Noid.
No, it was Domino's, right?
Oh, it was Domino's? Yeah. You're right. My bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking that. I was like, what?
Oops. Kind of Mandela effect happening going on there. He also did the video for Speed Demon by Michael Jackson. It was on the Moonwalker
movie. I'm not sure. Yeah.
The Creature Comforts, which was from England. They were the Grand Day Out, the Wallace and Gromit.
Oh yeah,
those some great animation.
The Sledgehammer.
Video. I saw that plenty of times at your parents' house.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
watching MTV like at 2 a.m.
Yes, exactly. Oh, and the Three Little Pigs by
Green Jelly.
No, they also had to change the name.
But it was a Y with an umlaut, which I don't know how you pronounce that. I think it's, you still pronounce that green jello. Yay. But Weird Al did a Jurassic Park video, and the Nightmare Before Christmas is probably the biggest one that's still around.
I didn't realize that was claymation.
It's like stop motion kind of stuff. So one of the things that surprised me is actually he didn't do the animated Cheeseburger and Better Off Dead.
Which 1985.
That was 1985. That was actually one of the ones that I thought was like, oh, of course, there's got to be Will Vinton because it's right at the same time, but it was not. And apparently, it was Bill Kopp
who's that?
He was the voice of Eek the Cat. He was an animator. He worked a lot with Savage Steve Holland, who was the director of Better Off Dead.
One crazy summer.
And apparently, Bill Kopp also animated the Whammy from Pressure Luck.
Oh, really?
Whoa.
Yeah. So he was like, you know, a big part of at least my childhood. Anyway, for whatever reason, animation was really big in the mid 80s, and FCB said, well, we have
claymation.
Claymation. They hired Vinton to do this ad that would make raisins hip and cool. So remember, we don't want hip food. No. And so they hired Buddy Miles, who was a real musician, and he was a very well-known drummer as the lead vocalist. And Miles is interesting because he was a member of Hendrix's Band of Gypsies, so the second band that he had right before he died. He played with Carlos Santana, Bootsy Collins, but he actually has another fake band, Link. And not only was he the vocals for the California Raisins, he played on Muddy Waters' 1969 album, Fathers and Sons, with Donald Duck Dunn. Was a member of
Blues Brothers.
We have 6 degrees of separation. He was on fake bands.
Isn't he one of the most famous bass players?
Probably. Yeah. 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 So he was like Muscle Shoals. Yeah.
Buddy Miles didn't play with CCR, did he? Cause that's going to be too many references.
I don't think so. I think we're safe there. So,
okay.
But he was really good because as the folks over at Ad Persuasion noted, it really was the music that carried the actual message that made the ad. And so, the visuals grabbed you, but this is a great, the Ad Persuasion did a little thing about this ad campaign, and one of them put it, the conga line have made up of, quote, these little pieces of what appear to be poo.
What?
Yes.
That's cold, man.
For raisins? Ice cold. No, that's, yeah, if it's just the visuals, no one's going to want to eat your raisins.
You really need the music. Yeah. No. So, to be fair, I mean, the music is really well done. It really is. It's like the Commitments. It's a really good cover band, you know? So for whatever reason, the ads clicked and people started, talking about this ad campaign, and actually raisin sales did go up. They went up by 20%.
That's good.
And the ads kept coming. Yeah, that is good.
Oh, wow. Right off the bat, 20%. That's pretty good.
Not bad. So there are tons of them. They're generally the same theme of people who have like other snacks nearby. And then the raisins kind of come and show them up. And they're dancing and they're singing and they're wearing their sneakers and
like sunglasses
and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that, yes. Like weirdly, a lot of times they were in like a conga line, which doesn't mm-hmm. quite fit with the Motown thing. Eh. But so it's like, but like they were just like marching to say, please eat us, giant godlike creatures who loom over us and bring us into being with sunlight and time.
The only thing that gives us purpose is you eating us.
Yes. So the ad campaign actually gets so big that it attracted celebrity spokespeople. So in 1988, Ray Charles lent his voice in a spot.
Great, Ray. That's a wrap.
Huh? Sweet.
I do like the that sweet.
I definitely remember that version, that commercial. Yes, nice. That is.
That was nothing, though. The most famous one is the Michael Jackson one. So,
Yes.
So, Team Mike, for those of you, because we don't have visuals of this, can you describe what happens in this ad campaign?
Well,
ad?
As a Michael, I feel best qualified to describe another Michael. So Raisin's a Raisin version of superstar Michael Jackson. And you got to remember, Michael Jackson is huge at this point. He has yet to have any scandals befall him, and he is just like a pop superstar of the highest caliber.
And he's had like, so this is when Bad come out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have a Raisin version of Michael Jackson in full-on Bad mode. He's singing to a crowd of anthropomorphic fruits and vegetables. And if you know anything about our comedy group, the Van Gogh's, you'll know we love the word anthropomorphic. So be prepared to hear that several more times in this podcast.
He Mike loves it, definitely.
I love it. So he sings his own version of I Heard It Through the Grapevine. Not only did Ray Charles do a version, and then there's the Raisins version, but he goes off and does his own separate version. Let's listen.
So, that's...
It sounds like a parody of him. It doesn't sound like it's really him.
Woo!
It sounds...
Woo! Woo!
It just kind of sounds like a joke kind of thing.
No, but see, here's the... You want a joke? Here's a funny thing.
Before you get into that, D-Mike, I'd just like to point out that we played this. It's available on YouTube, and it's listed as being the uncensored version. Which I think they meant unedited, because it's like a minute long. I don't think they meant uncensored, but I do like the idea that there's like something in there that was so offensive that they had to hide it.
They had to beep it all the commercials as you heard.
Anyway, TMI, go ahead.
Well, so here's the craziest thing about that ad. Michael Jackson did it basically for free. He went to them and said, I want to be a Raisin. You need to Raisinify me and put an ad on that has me singing my version of Heard Through the Grapevine. They didn't go like begging hand in cap in hand going, hey, please, how about you do this ad? And they're like, if $1 million, I will. No, he went to them. He did it for free. And he even like sent them a video. He said, well, Venton, a video with like all the moves that he wanted to do, all how he wanted the claymation to look, even down to some of the facial expressions of like the characters in the background that they're making, like when Michael Jackson's character's on stage.
So on the one hand, I mean, Michael Jackson, biggest star of the time.
Oh yeah.
This is huge. on the other hand, he was Michael Jackson, so he also was a little odd. So, I mean, both of these seem kind of amazing that he would ask for money and he would not ask for money.
I would love to be made a raisin. Can you make me a raisin?
Yeah, sure, but we can't pay you.
You don't need to pay me.
Just make me a raisin.
Here's my song.
Yeah.
So
it does fit. I mean,
I mean, after the initial, rise interest, FCB reached out to Priority Records, which was a fairly new record label, actually started by people from ex-KTEL executives. And
if you're of a certain generation, you remember KTEL.
Yes. So they rushed out an album, 1987's The California Raisins Sing the Hit Songs, and it peaked at number 60. And again, this album peaked at number 60, and it is supposedly by Singing Raisins.
It went platinum.
Yes. And their version of Heard of the Grapevine hit number 84 in January 1988. And when I was researching this, one of the things I noticed, I don't think I ever, like the first few passes through this, when I was doing research, I didn't pick up on this, but it's California Raisins sing the hit songs, not their hit songs.
Well, they're glorified cover bands.
Yeah, so it really
is. Like that's true, yeah.
I struck me as
very few songs have been written by Food.
So, citation needed. There's a great quote in this thing that I found that was a story about the article, the album. Priority President Brian Turner said, quote, "Our idea was to do a raisin album, sure, but also to do a good production so it would appeal to all sorts of people, from little kids who like the packaging to yuppies who like the music, so that the project would have life after the initial fire had died down."
So that people still want to buy the album today.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
I kind of do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us more about Priority Records, Charles and Alan.
Well, I was wondering, like Priority Records, it's funny, when I first saw this, I was thinking this cannot possibly be the same Priority Records that I know, because at the same year they put out the Raisins album, they also put out Straight Outta Compton.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
That is crazy.
Yes. So NWA's first album was also on the same label. Priority Records is mostly known as a hip-hop label. So Ice Cube, Eazy-E, Snoop Dogg, the Ghetto Boys, Jay-Z's debut album, Reasonable Doubt, was all on Priority Records.
So sometimes like they'll do maybe a tour of like their artists.
Oh yeah, like a package.
So
tour,
you can
yeah.
have NWA and you could have Snoop Dogg and you could have the California Raisins.
Yeah, who opens for who though? That's what I want
to
know.
I think you have to have a rotating thing, otherwise there'd be so many fights.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, Priority also rushed out Sweet, Delicious and Marvelous, Meet the Raisins, and Christmas with the California Raisins, all in 1988.
They had four albums the same year, just all for
the
Raisins.
That's like a monkey's level of work.
It is.
Well, I mean, yes. I guess if you got to get as much as you can out of these Raisins,
gotta strike while the iron's hot.
I'm assuming Buddy Miles knew these songs backwards and forwards already. I mean, he probably, these are like kind of the classics. I mean, they weren't doing like, you know, something obscure, or like, you know, oh, this is off the third Plastic Ono album, you know. No, they're
or writing brand new things.
Yeah,
it's just like, oh, it's this
are tried and true classics.
So a long time they had a couple Claymation specials. T-Mike's gonna lead us through some of the plots of that and the stories in that after the break. There also was a video game, The California Raisins and the Cereal Factory, 1988. You can actually play it at My Abandonware, which is a great site.
That sounds like a terrible game.
I don't know. I think you don't. Yeah. So that sounds kind of bad.
I stand by what I said.
Yeah, Charles, how did you predict that? That was spot on.
It's from an emulator, so it sounds kind of bad. But I think on the original platform, it would sound bad also. But you would have been impressed by it.
Did you know what the game is like? Just by the title alone, I kind of see
it's like
them.
A platforming kind of
you
game.
Have to,
yeah,
you have
yeah.
to escape the cereal factory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I was going to say.
You're a raisin. I believe you are a raisin Tiny Goodbite, if I recall correctly. You actually have a named character now.
Oh. Yeah, I assumed that they would be, it was like the California Raisins were like the Velvet Underground, the house band for like the Cereal Factory. And they had some sort of Andy Warhol pun for like some sort of vegetable pun for Andy Warhol. And then somehow you're trying to go through all the pop art and everything.
America's gamer developers, you have been challenged. Come up with that game. I want to play that game. I will give you fives of dollars for that game.
I think I got some change in my car too. I'll chip in.
But the funny is, actually, there was another game that they was made and never released. It was by Capcom. The California Raisins, The Grape Escape. It was for Super NES.
Second game.
Yeah. So
that's so weird that they would go to all the trouble to complete it. And then while Raisin Mania is still hot, they didn't release it.
I guess by the time this was coming out, Raisin Mania was starting to fade a little bit.
I don't know.
But there's a story about it on Nintendo Player site, and it's a Capcom collector named Brandon Murphy found a beta cartridge in a secondhand store in the early 2000s. And so he made the ROM available online. So better.
Nailed it. Yeah. Much better. So much That's better. The 8-bit.
So much better.
8-bit version of my dreams. Yeah. Thank you, Alan.
But so like by December 1990, they were such a big phenomenon. They were at the National Christmas Tree Lighting Ceremony. President George H.W. Bush, he never name checked Tony the Tiger or Sugar Bear, but he did in fact welcome them to the National Christmas Tree Lighting.
Wouldn't have been prudent to do that. I'll work that in there.
But so this is actually, weirdly, this may have been to make up for a campaign trail gaffe. So in 88, he had to cancel a stump speech in Fresno, and he joked that he didn't want to see those damn dancing raisins again. And weirdly, the LA Times, so they wrote a story about this, how the California Democrat, the Democratic Party, like, leapt on it. And they were just like, they ran a whole bunch of ads, of radio ads, trying to like get people in the Central Valley pissed off at Bush.
Don't mess with raisins, man.
This man hates raisins.
Get him.
So a couple years later, Stephen King mentioned them in his short story, Chattery Teeth.
Charles, you want to read that for us?
Yeah.
A picture of terrible, unendurable clarity suddenly rose in Hogan's mind. He saw the jumbo chattery teeth standing on the funny orange feet just over the edge of that wash. Standing there in spats so cool, they made the coolest of the California raisins look like hicks from Fargo, North Dakota. Standing there in the electric purple light which had overspread these empty lands west of Las Vegas. They were clamped shut on this thick wad of the kid's long blonde hair. The chattery teeth were backing up. The chattery teeth were dragging Mr. Brian Adams away from nowhere, USA.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wait, not the Brian Adams, I'm assuming.
No, I don't think so.
I don't even know, but the coolest of the California.
The coolest.
Coolest. All the cool raisins wear spats also.
Made the coolest ones look like he was from Fargo.
Yeah. And so one thing that also I saw several references to it. It was in Business Insider's Brought to You by podcast. The USS Pyro, which was an ammunition ship, they asked for permission to sail with the California Raisins flag at some point in the early 90s. And I could never find confirmation of this anywhere, but it's a great little story that I kind of decided to believe was true.
I hope they did not get permission. There's no reason they should be flying a raisin flag.
Well, as long as it's below the American flag, I think you're in the clear.
So the year that Chattery Tea came out, they had the California Raisins had the second highest Q score in Hollywood, which is the Q score is how, like, basically, how many people say that they like someone, it's divided by the number of people who recognize the name.
It's a marketing thing.
So they were just behind. Can you guess who had the highest in 92, who had the highest Q score?
It's not George H.W. Bush.
92.
Why? It's right there in our notes for this episode.
I was trying to add some gravitas to it. Yes. I'm going to say 92. I'm going to say probably like a Bill Cosby,
exactly like a Bill Cosby of that.
Bill Cosby. I'm pretty spectacular with these guesses.
So, mentioning Q score, of course, brings me to the most interesting, at least to me, the most interesting part of this whole fake band story.
What is this place? What is it that you do here? Merchandising.
Merchandising? What's that?
Merchandising.
That's right. Merchandising.
I believe it was merchandising.
The twin threads of toyetic media and modern capitalism combined to create a cultural moment when companies were promoting themselves via a different company's mascot.
They're here with a whole new act.
The Grapevine Tour, only at Hardee's. Any two Rise and Shine biscuits or any dessert and collect an all-new California Raisin figurine for just 99 cents. A new rocker or roller each week. Collect all six only at Hardee's because we're out to win you over.
So CalRab contracted with Applause Inc. to license the Raisin images out for toys, lunchboxes, backpacks, pajamas, bedsheets, cups, t-shirts, posters, keychains, Halloween costumes, and even limited edition Grapevine Tour sneakers.
Sneakers?
A pair are currently on sale on Curtsy for about $280.
Damn.
T-Mike actually owned, he actually got out of a thrift store dumpster, a California Raisins costume.
You could get it off of eBay for like $20. That's no great shakes. Well, but wow, the sneakers, $280 bucks.
So. And the sneakers that were on sale had never been worn, so yeah.
Ooh, I wonder why.
So Hardee's had multiple series of plastic figurines that ran for about 99 cents that you could buy along. It's like 99 cents on the plus the purchase of a meal.
Right.
My wife's twin brother has a whole bunch of them, I believe. But in 87, while these were being offered, people were offering $10 and $20 for rare figures.
That's crazy.
Beanie Baby money, man.
Yeah. I mean, the Orlando Sentinel ran a story about this, about how Hardee's, they had a whole story.
You sure do love the Orlando Sentinel.
The Orlando Sentinel loves the Raisins, apparently. So they ran a story about how Hardee's was offering new Grapevine Tour 88 figures.
Well,
and so
Orlando is the Fresno of Central Florida.
That makes sense now. Okay.
I guess it is a central part of the state, so yeah. But, I mean, this was just like a few years, you know, this was a few years after the Cabbage Patch Kids craze.
Right.
But it did lead to things like McDonald's when they had the 1999, they had the Beanie Boos and whatever. They've had a lot of these things.
Always something that where just people's imaginations are caught and then people want to collect them. And
Yeah. So along with all their own albums and specials and shows, the Raisins were also shilling for other people. They were the face of the American Library Association's Reading for Kids campaign.
Books, check them out. Books, check them out. Pick up a book. You got a fantasy, imagination can take you to where you want to be. Are you curious? How can you find out? Books, check them out. Books, check them out. Read about stars and cars, play electric guitars, the cops that work hard, patrolling the boulevard, the heavyweight champ and his craziest bout. Books, check them out. Books, check them out. At your library.
So...
That is that's Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yes, it is.
It's got to be.
But I mean, I did not think that he overlapped with the Raisins.
This is probably my career.
Posse's on Broadway era of Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I mean, this is not album. Baby Got Back and his lesser hit Put Him on the Glass.
I don't think this is earlier. Yeah, this would be earlier.
I was just like, how could it be Raisins and Sir Mix-a-Lot? They just did not seem.
It's like Abraham Lincoln and the fax machine and samurai all coexisted at the same time.
Thank you, internet meme.
I'm not sure what all that was, but I'll just nod in that direction.
Some of us are more online than Charles, I think. So anyway, but yeah, it is. It's a weird overlap there. So even as the wave was building and building and building, it cresting also. So all was not good in the Raisin Empire. There was something rotten in the state of
Fresno.
Yes.
It's in the name of the band, Alan. Yeah, the California Raisins.
So the Raisins started to fade, and so I don't know. I guess fade is not the best metaphor. I don't know. Wrinkle more.
Squish. They started to squish.
I don't know how raisins go bad. I mean, they just seem to get hard.
Moldy.
Mold. Maybe the raisins were molding. So
don't they get stickier? They get really kind of sticky. Yeah. I don't know. Something
they can't get any grosser. Anyway, 89, the raisins were earning more from license fees than raisin farmers were getting from selling raisins.
Wait. Now that they get the commercials
fairly early on,
were making more money than raisins.
Yes.
Altogether was making.
And part of the reason was
this is real. tail wagging the dog situation now.
Well, part of the reason was because the ads being claymation were really expensive to produce. It took them a long time. And so you're renting a lot of studio time to produce these things. So Weird History Food reported that the marketing campaign was at one point was double the sales of the fruit.
What?
Yeah.
That's insane. That's not unusual.
I don't think for like a very brief time in some campaigns, to like raise awareness.
Right. But like if you have a product that you think is going to take off, you maybe spend a lot of money on advertising to get in people's minds and everything. But to just keep making out all these commercials and like the raisins are half that they're making, crazy.
So the ads largely stopped in 94. The farmers ended up setting up their own marketing board in the late 90s, and Calrab shut down in 2002 because just basically they farmers all kind of pulled out. So the new marketing board kept the California Raisin mascot, but they didn't run any of the ads. They were last seen in a cameo, the raisins themselves, in Food Fight, which was a 2012 movie, playing at the Copa Banana. In the background is Mr. Clean, Charlie Tuna, Mrs. Butterworth, Punchy from Hawaiian Punch, Twinkie the Kid. It's a great movie, right?
Oh my God. It was torturous enough just trying to scan, fast forward, rewind through the video to find where the hell the raisins were in this damn thing. This is a nightmare of a movie. I mean, it is like some horrible CGI, early CGI level that should, I mean, even for the 2012, it's the quality is horrible. It's like 10 years behind or something. Mm. And every other character is a corporate mascot, which like a real one or a made up one. They also made up a bunch. And then they're all fighting, banding, these heroic corporate mascots are all banding together to fight against evil Brand X. Mm. And it's just like, what message are you trying to get through here?
This is the time I wish we had a video podcast, because T-Mike's holding his temples and just like getting all stressed out and worked
it's
out
about
a terrible. You know, if you don't like terrible movies, you shouldn't be doing a fake band podcast, because there's going to be 60% of the things you watch are going to be utter trash.
But there's bad movies and there's bad movies.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I've just seen a really terrible one with a fake band in it, and we'll get to it in an episode later on here. Yes. We're all in agreement. It's a terrible movie. Yes, that's what I'm getting at. You're right. It's terrible.
Movie bad.
In better things, there have been parodies. American Dad did a parody. It's Always Sunny. It does parody of the California Raisins. But nothing more recent has been official, at least in the U.S. Weirdly, in Japan, there's people in California Raisin costumes that appear still in Japanese ads for raisins. But the band element seems to be gone.
Raisin time.
Perfect. So yeah, that's a fairly typical Japanese ad, which means it's kind of a little nuts.
Yeah. They're crazy.
But we'll link to the actual video if you can kind of see it. But a couple of years ago there was excitement for raisin fanatics, such as all of you listening here.
Me. I'm a raisin fanatic, man.
Are you a raisin fanatic?
No.
You do have a costume. You do have merchandising.
I do, but yeah.
Well, in other fruit news, 2015, Cartoon Brew reported that Rusty Citron.
Well, that.
Yeah, appropriate. Rusty Citron, who was like a big-time Hollywood insider, was heading up an effort to make a live-action / CGI feature film, kind of like the Sonic the Hedgehog film or like that, featuring the California Raisins. But that was the last we heard about it. Citron died in 2022. And so
the project probably stalled with him.
I've seen no other coverage of this.
That's probably a good thing. Having like CGI raisins interacting with regular people, I think that would just be terrible in a lot of ways.
You, Mike, right now, you sound a lot like the comments on the story on Cartoon Brew. Everyone was appalled. It's pretty much, it's rare you see like kind of unilateral, I think there was like one person like, oh, I'll give it a watch.
There was negativity on the internet. That's, wow.
Who knew?
So anyway, according to the Hanford Sentinel, so I'm stepping away from the Orlando Sentinel, going to Hanford, which is a small town in California. California Raisin production peaked in 2000 at 280,000 acres, and it's less than half of that as of now, probably.
Whoa.
Yeah. The Sentinel blames the availability of a wider variety of other fruit, better fruit. so globalization isn't all bad, you know, coming and kind of bringing in fresher, yummier, you know, get your lychees and your the little ones with the spikes on them, the
dragon fruit,
kiwis, dragon. I don't know any of those.
go to a grocery store sometime. I think
mangosteens. You know, there's one of those ones like
durians.
That. Durians, yeah. Mm. So, yes, the California durians band is ready to come. So, and weirdly, there also is, and I was looking around. There's a anti-raisin campaign right now going on in Britain, the raisin awareness campaign.
To not have these commercials anymore?
No, to not eat raisins.
We're anti-fruit.
Can we just go 360 on this now?
So Joe Dawson, who is a dental nurse, started in 2021, started a campaign advocating that British schools stop providing raisins as snacks because apparently they're bad for your teeth. They're high in sugar and they don't have like enough other good stuff going on to justify it. So
okay. If only I'm just glad the California raisins aren't around to see this.
Exactly. Well, because California raisins, part of the reason they're not around is Will Vinton actually has he kept making claymation for a little while, but he went on to 3D work and then eventually got lost control of his own studio, got forced out. Phil Knight from Nike.
Oh yeah.
He bought into to Will Vinton Studios and they kind of, you know, forced Will out and, they became Laika, which did Coraline and Kubo and the Two Strings, another fake band. Still around making movies. Vinton himself died in 2018.
Okay.
And even the Capcom collector we mentioned earlier,
who found the Vader earlier,
he got caught by the raisin curse. He was actually horribly murdered by his roommates.
Grim fates all around. And so, on this note of sadness, failure, and death, let's go to an ad. This is the Rocklopedia Fake Bandicoot. And we're back to talk more about the California raisins. Now, raisins are dried grapes, right?
Terrible. I mean, yes.
Now, did you know golden raisins are not, they're dried golden raisins are called, the golden raisins are sultanas.
Sultanas, yeah.
That's what the dried golden raisins.
I thought that was only like in England, they were all sultanas, but in America, we call them raisins.
And I think in England, I think all raisins are sultanas. And then we call them sultanas or raisins and then Britain also has currants. But I think we just call currants or just small raisins.
I think. Now, in French, raisins, that's grapes. The word for grapes is raisins. So if you want to talk about the raisins we have, it's raisin sex. It's dry grapes is what we have to say.
Raisin sex?
Yeah.
What?
S-E-C-S.
Don't spell it out. It's fun that way.
But so, yeah, you have to say. But so with plums, a dried plum is?
Prune.
A prune. And
now, you know what a dried date is?
Right now. It's
still a date.
With prunes, it's a big joke. Everybody talks, it was irregular and I had to eat this. It makes you go poo and everything. So now people are calling them dried plums again.
Yes.
So people won't be like, oh, I don't eat prunes.
Marketing savvy.
That was a big thing a couple of years ago because they said they were trending old in their advertising.
So now they're going hip by calling them dried plums.
If only they would go one step hipper and have the singing dancing dried plums.
That could be.
They could take a page here and learn something.
All right. We've talked a lot about the California raisins in our world. T-Mike, why don't you tell us about the California raisins in their own world?
Sure. Okay. So in the original ads, they're like actually raisin sized.
Right.
So you have like, you know, real, just in the real world, claymation version of the real world, they're just like tiny little real raisins marching around.
Right. The little tiny pieces of poo.
Exactly. The poo.
Stop that. They're all more or less identical. They're, you know, no time to ID any of them individually. And I'll get to the TV special, which really establishes everything. But before that, between the ads and the special, there's some really crappy kids books that somehow got put out. And they're human-sized raisins now.
Oh, good Lord.
In the human world. They're a little shorter. It's okay. They come up to like your chin, you know, maybe.
I mean,
so it's slightly less off-putting than being slightly looming over you. Yes.
I mean, one of the things about raisins is they're like the size of a bug. You throw them in your mouth. You actually have to cut this giant raisin in pieces to eat. Right?
You don't eat these raisins. These are the California
raisins.
You're
going to have raisins with arms and legs and spats and sunglasses, and I'm going to have to decapitate it to eat it now. That's no longer a food anymore.
All right. So anyway,
I'm getting an image of that Norman Rockwell with the turkey thing.
Oh, it's Lord.
Like a giant it's like raisin a giant that they raisin just raisin cut
with some spats.
Oh, dear right. God, TMI.
So, yeah, actually, so spats is actually one of their names. So that's actually one of the names for the raisins, the band. There's Tux, Shades, Sax, Hush, and Spats.
They spent a lot of time on those names, too.
Yeah, they did.
Sure did. Anyway, and it's confusing because, you know, there was in the movie, in the Tiny Good Bite was the character in the game.
Right.
And then all the figurines all had like completely different names. My favorite name is Ben Inda Sun.
Oh, so they're all like sort of reference to like raisins and such.
No.
Just Ben.
That's just Ben.
Ben's the
just
only one that's Ben a raisin.
The only the only pun one there. So anyway, but see, if you go back to the Michael Jackson ad, though, that's establishes like what the pattern going forward. So
the
it gives
lore
you
a
lore. Yes, the preview. So Michael Jackson is the superstar raisin singing to a huge crowd of anthropomorphic. There it is again. Anthropomorphic.
By you, not
one
the
more
group.
Time.
By
once
you.
Again. Third time's a charm. I'll appear. Anthropomorphic fruits and vegetables. So this is the way they move forward in the TV specials, the animated Saturday morning TV kids show. It's a world of, they're set in a world of anthropomorphic fruits and vegetables, like, I guess, VeggieTales, which I like to think that they're existing in the same universe because those are the only two fruit and vegetable universes I know. If you know some more,
not
get
right
on our disc, hop on our Discord, let me know.
That's true.
Well, it just, the VeggieTales are like a cucumber and
a tomato,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are those vegetables?
Tomatoes
are technically
a
fruit, aren't they?
Yeah. Tomatoes are technically,
I don't know what a cucumber is. It's like it's seeds in it, right?
I think it's still a vegetable. I don't. Maybe they're both berries. Oh. Is that how it works? I don't know. Anyway,
cucumbers, I don't even know. I do know this, that the state vegetable of Oklahoma is the watermelon.
Whoa!
Wait, what?
I don't know why.
All right.
I don't know why I know that.
So anyway.
But for some reason, that's what their state vegetable is.
It's so I was wondering in the universe how they were going to explain.
Giant raisins?
No, just everything is fruit. Everybody's fruit and vegetables, so we're all sized appropriately.
So wait, everybody, so there's no people in this universe?
No, there's no humans. No humans. Just
that's
all
what they
anthropomorphic.
Eat. They eat little tiny humans.
So there could be like a kind of like a Whoville kind of thing going on here.
No, it's like the regular universe. I mean, there's like New York City and Los Angeles.
Well, I know, but maybe they're on a little dandelion, mm-hmm. and there's a giant elephant holding them, listening
Horton.
In.
Horton.
A Horton. Yes.
Possibly. If he is, he's getting a great bunch of cover tunes of 60s Motown. But anyway, so
how long
I was
can
wondering.
We keep T-Mike off track.
Why you? I was wondering how they were going to do, you know, raisins versus grapes. I was like, do grapes like turn into raisins?
That is a very good point. I mean, that's how we get raisins. You have grapes.
Yeah. I mean, how do you handle that? Are raisins just really old grapes? Is that how they were going to explain it in universe?
So like the California raisins are like the Golden Girls of all this. Oh, that explains a lot.
No. I checked. They evolved separately.
Oh,
there were Neanderthal raisins. Can we play the clip?
That sounds like a something that you would call somebody. Like if you're Neanderthal, you play, Neanderthal raisin.
Play the clip, for love of God.
Neanderthal raisin, a distant ancestor of the raisins we know today. And what might the raisin of the future look like? Perhaps like this.
That's cool.
So anyway, this is canon. This is universe, in universe canon. There were Neanderthal raisins. So there are grapes and raisins evolved separately in a case of what I would like to call concurrent evolution.
Turn his microphone off. just turn his mic off. We don't need that. Oh my goodness.
All right. So, okay. Oof, so okay. Now it's time for the Will Vinton TV special called Meet the Raisins, which aired in November 1988 in prime time.
Which is kind of a parody of Meet the Beatles, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it tells the story of the band. It was nominated for an Emmy. They didn't win the Emmy, but it was nominated, so that's good. So anyway, remember Tux, Shades, Stacks, Hush, and Spats?
Right. Oh, those are the raisins from the books.
We talk about them all the time.
Forget it. Forget them. They're dead. They're gone.
They died.
It's Bebop, AC, Red, and Stretch now.
So there's only four of them. There was five. Now they've got rid of one of them, and they renamed them, or they just got rid of all five?
No, those guys are gone. Oh, now it's these guys. All right. Here's the show clip.
Wasn't there a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle enemy named Bebop? Around the same time?
Probably.
Oh.
The California Raisins. These four working class musicians have risen from garden variety band to pop phenomenon. But what are the roots of such genius? From whence doth it spring?
From whence doth it spring, indeed.
And you're underselling that this was a guy who's a carrot.
Yeah. It was an anthropomorphic carrot.
With very bad teeth.
Well, he's an English carrot.
English carrot. Okay,
English carrot. Yeah.
So we start with Bebop and AC, who are brothers. They get their musical youth, and they get joined by their cousin Red.
Bebop and AC were in Musical Youth?
No, that's a different... No.
Okay, I'm just double-checking there.
It's a reference, people. Anyway, so they perform with their cousin Red in high school. They add a grapefruit named Zoot as a bass singer to their band to become the Vinyls. Eh? Get it?
I do.
Vinyls? Of a certain generation.
So they had a grapefruit and then three desiccated grapes.
Yes. So, and then they picked the world's worst manager, Rudy Bagaman. And
by choice, they chose him?
Apparently.
Want the worst one possible.
You'll see how bad he is. So Zoot gets the boot for some reason, and they replace him with Stretch Thompson. So now we have all four guys in the band.
I like how you're just underselling the fact that the one grapefruit gets booted out. Oh, he gets the boot for some reason.
Is it racism if it's vegetables and fruits? Is it
Xenofruitia?
You have Bebop, AC, Red, and Stretch Thompson.
Yes.
Am I supposed to just know what the last name is for the other guys? One guy gets a last name.
No, well, I mean, they all have, I think they all have last names. I forgot what it is.
Bebop Raisin, AC Raisin.
Bebop and AC have the
Red
same
Raisin,
last name. They have the same
and
last
Stretch
name.
Thompson. Yeah.
They have the same last name because they're brothers. That
oh,
help?
My goodness.
Anyway, so they get their big chance on a TV show, a TV talent show in the Claymation TV special here. And they're a smash hit.
Of course.
Which is, unfortunately, that's because they are literally smashed by a classic cartoon 16-ton weight.
Wait, what? They crushed the raisins in the show?
Yes.
Is it the kind of thing where you're so bad they smushed them, or was it an accident?
Both.
Okay. Wow. Well, then.
They were going to be threatened with being smushed if they weren't good enough, but they were good enough. But then they accidentally smushed him
the
anyway.
The guy who was holding the weight was so happy with the music, he started clapping and let
it
go.
It was Banana White.
Wait, what? Seriously?
Yes.
Banana White? Is that like Vanna White and Banana White?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It was Banana White.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. What is going
Nailed
on?
It. So even though they were hit, they just have to spend a year in a hospital, so that ruins whatever momentum they might have had. And so now they're back to singing on street corners, but they did pick up the new name, the California Raisins, because of the newspapers, the way they covered it. They just called them the California Raisins. So
because they got rid of the guy in the raisin in the grapefruit suit.
Yeah. You know? It was just the way that
now news, they're all raisins. Let's call themselves raisins.
Right. So anyway, so now they're singing on street corners, elevators. They're doing singing telegrams, whatever crummy job that
they're singing on elevators.
Yes. Singing elevator music on elevators.
Oh, okay.
Was that a thing? I guess. Could that have been a thing?
Got crowded. Not a good, not a very efficient use of
that
space.
That was back when elevators were like 12 foot by 12 foot. They were huge.
So anyway, they catch the eye of Italian film director Federico Rasberini.
Who is the market for this film?
This doesn't sound like a childhood.
Will Benton is clearly amusing himself and his staff real hard here. It's great, though. So Federico Rasberini puts them in a string of movies. You might remember such classics as The Good, The Bad, and The Wrinkle.
Oh, of course, it's a classic.
2000 Some. 2000 and Star Trek. And they're actually in the universe, the Raisins are having good movie success, being these movie stars for Frederico, until they make the gladiator epic Ben Herb. And that sinks.
I mean, they had Frederico Rasberini. You're like, oh, really? They go Star Trek Ben Herb. It was kind of ran out of steam that day.
So anyway, they can't break in the States.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, but it's okay because Rudy gets them a tour.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Of Antarctica.
Well, that's bad.
But then they get their big break.
Well, that's great.
When their plane crashes.
That's bad.
Onto the set of the popular Ed Succotash show.
That's great.
And then they sing. And they're a big hit.
Well, that's great.
Yay! Okay, so anyway, the special also introduces another musical character that I have got to work into this. I don't care how shoehorned it is. Lick Broccoli. Lick Broccoli, as you remember, part of the great broccoli invasion of the late 1980s, is a dim-witted English punk rocking anthropomorphic
you again.
Piece of broccoli.
Lick Broccoli.
So he looks more like broccolini.
That is one rockin' broccoli. That's all I got to say.
But it's his manager seems to be human. Is his manager like a little human? Or
no,
like
no. His manager is Leonard Lima Bean.
He's a Lima Bean.
He was a Lima Bean.
Okay. He just looked like a green human. So,
nah. So okay. So
that was a special.
That was like the half hour TV special. That was first. But then later, there's a whole series, the California Raisins Show, in fall of 1989. They only get one season, 13 episodes. But here's the thing. So it's not claymation. It's just regular cell-style animation. Right. And, you know, so Will Vinton TV special, it was funny. It was interesting. It was goofy characters. There was a lot going on. Great 16-ton weight-dropping slapstick. And it even had, like, these really fun in-universe like commercials. Like it was like a commercial like from the same universe.
Well, the whole show is a commercial. They're California Raisins.
Well, yeah, yeah. But they had like sub commercials. Like it was set in the anthropomorphic world of fruits and vegetables. Oh. Where they had like commercial for a thing, like, you know, in-universe things, news clips and stuff. So it was like a whole little snippet of a universe even. So then we go to the Saturday morning cartoon version, and it's everything that the Will Vinton Studios isn't. Boring, it's tepid, there's none of this interesting stuff. It's, I swear to God, more happens in 30 minutes of that TV special than happens in the entire 6.5 hour run of that series. It's just not good. But here's the theme song.
Yeah, baby, with the hippest dried fruit around. Chunky but funky, we can lay it down. Cool is the rule, cause the music's so fine.
You might have heard about us through the old grapevine.
Anyway, they make sure to point out they're not prunes or dates. And you might have noticed the music seems to have dropped in quality a bit there.
Right. I could have sworn they said they weren't good, not that they weren't dates.
Well, so the TV show seems to pick up from where the TV special left off. So now they're big and successful. And in this now they all live in the same mansion in Los Angeles. Their manager somehow is still comic relief Rudy Bagaman.
But they all live in the same house. It kind of sounds like a VH1 reality show at this point, you know?
A little bit.
I just noticed it's actually the California Raisin Show, singular.
Is it?
According to IMDb, it is.
All right, well, that's my mistake.
Well, no, it's not your mistake. It's
just,
I think
just
it's
about
their
one
mistake.
Raisin, you're saying.
Yeah, I think it's their mistake.
Somebody messed up somewhere. All right, anyway.
So they're all living in a mansion. They're a big, successful band.
Yeah, but somehow their manager is still getting them gigs on street corners and employee lounges.
Well, then how are they a big, successful band with a mansion?
Exactly, exactly. So the only other things about the show here are worth mentioning are, so now we've introduced the band's female singing counterparts. And, of course, it should be, so they're called the Sweet Currents, the singing female version trio. And they're all named after actual 60s African-American girl groups.
So they didn't do the kind of chipmunks approach with just putting ets on the end.
See, that's what they should have done. It should have been the Raisinettes.
Well, that's the candy. It is.
Yeah. It's a lost opportunity. The Raisinettes people just blew it. They blew it. This could have been, they could have jumped on this bandwagon and had like the Raisinettes as an actual like part of the show. But they just, I don't know, somebody dropped the ball.
They're chocolate covered raisins, right? They'd have to be chocolate covered raisins.
So what? Who cares? That would have been fine. It would have been fine. But no.
I'm not trying to start a fight here or anything. I'm just saying you'd have to get
them. I am angry at the Raisinettes company for dropping the ball on this. They could have made millions of dollars. They could have increased the sales of their candy, which would have increased the sales of raisins,
period. You just said it was a terrible show that no one should watch. So why would their sales go up? You would think their sales would go down because the show is so terrible.
And if they were covered in chocolate with it, that'd be like wearing a burqa? Like they would be constantly be covered with something?
I don't know.
Could this be like a crossover with We Are Lady Parts? Another fake band show? Fine.
Anyway. Okay. So anyway, there's that Sherelle, Dixie, and Crystal are all actual 60s band names. The Sherelles, the Dixie Cups.
Okay.
So here's the other interesting fact I learned from the TV series, though. So I believe I mentioned it earlier. So the song Baby Love, written the 1964 number one hit for the Supremes, written by Motown's main production team, Holland, Dozier Holland. That's not true.
What?
Yeah, actually, that song was written in 1989 by a raisin.
Who had a time machine and went back to 1964,
I guess. There's an entire episode of the series where one of the members of the band is writing that song and trying to figure out how it's going to go. And the Lick Broccoli and his evil manager, Leonard Lima Bean, spend the other part of the episode trying to steal it from them, which they do.
So this sounds like that movie where the Beatles don't exist.
Oh, Yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah. Oh. Only it's a world where Holland Dozier Holland didn't write this one song.
Right. Why didn't they have him write Heard It Through the Grapevine?
That's quiet, you.
That's what started the whole thing, right?
That would be a better
song. Why would they pick Baby Love?
I think it's worth hearing Lick Broccoli's version.
All right. As we promised, here's the very latest video from Lick Broccoli and the Herbicides. This is Lick's newest, and it's called Baby Love.
Baby Love! Baby Love!
So anyway, that's one redeeming moment of the show from my point of view. Okay, so all right, so that's pretty much the series. So now there's
a huge hit though, right? Lasted many years.
Canceled after one season. So now,
no, but the Lick Broccoli version of Baby Love was a huge hit. Probably top ten song,
yeah,
probably.
Only in my mind, in my head canon, yeah.
I thought your nose is your head canon.
Those are snot rockets.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's a rocket, snot rocket launcher. So now there's, so the show is over. So now but Will Vinton gets to do a sequel Claymation primetime special again. So this one is called Sold Out, The California Raisins 2. And thank God they returned to Claymation and they returned to the style and the spirit of the original TV special, because the TV series was just really bland. And hilariously, though, the second TV special completely ignores the series 100%. It just it never happened. It did not exist.
Okay.
It literally picks up from about the exact second the first TV special ended.
Oh, so it was all a dream.
I don't know what. It was alternating, alternate realities.
You're saying it's the multiverse.
Yeah,
In the
Raisin multiverse, you have the Tux, Stash, Hush, and Spats version, and then you have the... You have the TV special version, and then you have the TV series version. So there's at least three different versions.
In one of those multiverses, this podcast is only like an hour long instead of like 3 hours like we're making this Raisin podcast about.
Who knew there was so much to say about singing raisins?
Who knew? Exactly.
So the first one, we're on the second one. In the second special, their Ed Succotash show hit was only a flash in the pan, and now they're back to being poor and living out of a moving van. And their manager Rudy keeps messing up, and evil manager Leonard Limabeen keeps sidling up and offering that they should dump Rudy and work with him, and he'll make them successful. And finally, Rudy messes up so many times they finally do it, and okay. Although, now that they've skipped the show, they don't know how evil and rotten Leonard Limabeen is.
They should have watched the show.
They should have watched their own show, but they didn't. So now, Leonard Limabeen puts Lick Broccoli in charge of them and in charge of their act, and he gets them to chase new musical trends. Wait. They dump the whole R&B thing.
So Lick Broccoli is their manager now, or he's
Lick Broccoli's front man? He's in charge of their stage act. He's like training them what to do and how to scream and jump around.
So they're not the backup band for Lick Broccoli. What they are is he's going to show them how to be
stars. Yeah, exactly. So Limabeen puts them, has them dump the whole R&B shtick and start chasing new exciting musical trends like demolition rock and disco polka. Am I crazy or is that actually kind of good?
You're crazy.
You're crazy. Sure. You've been crazy since 1986, as far as I know.
Fine. All right. So here's the thing, though. Limabeen is right. You can say what you want about Limabeen, but he's correct. I'm chasing these trends. He gets them wildly successful.
Wait, they got successful doing disco polka.
And country rap. Leonard Limabeen predicted country rap all the way back in 1990. In 1990, country rap was a joke. It was a punchline. It was funny. It was not a viable idea like it is now. Listen.
I've got a hot tip that the new rage, me lads, is country rap.
Since you left, I can't think straight. I drive my pickup truck in a figure eight. I don't know a doggy from a Holstein steer. Gonna drown my troubles in a tall root beer. I'm sad. I'm not a happy cowboy. I'm just flat out miserable. Come back, baby, I need you now. There's wood to chop and fields to plow. There's dishes in the sink about a country mile high, and the kids just sit around the kitchen and cry. We got 6 kids, 2 cows, 1 pig, 118 chickens, and 1 tired rooster.
118 chickens and 1 tired rooster? This is a kind of a dirty joke for a kids show.
Prime time, baby, prime time. So Leonard Limabeen is an excellent manager. They're huge. He's just an awful human being. I mean, Limabeen. So eventually, though, one of the band members, AC, gets sick and tired of not playing their music, the R&B. And Limabeen, though, tricks him into leaving the band and into thinking the other guys kicked him out for it. So Lick Broccoli then becomes the new front man. And
oh, so he did become the front man.
Eventually, yes. Okay. He becomes the front man. But eventually, the rest of the band rebels, and they all run off to go hook back up with AC and Rudy, and they reform the original band just in time to learn that Rudy, who was actually full time, been out there trying to drum up success and radio airplay for their actual Heard It Through the Grapevine song. He's actually had some success, and he's getting on the radio, and it's rising on their charts, and they become a hit doing it the way they wanted to do it and doing the music they want and not, you know, demolition rock and disco polka and country rap.
Top 10 hit in Antarctica. That's where they had the tour. Yeah.
And it also has the ending is even very clever because at the end of the second TV special, they're having success, and then Rudy comes in with a phone cover and he goes, "Hey, you guys want to do a commercial?"
Ooh, I time see what they did there.
Time is a flat circle.
It's circular.
Yes. Wow, that's a hell of a narrative there, T-Mike.
Yeah, whew, what a ride.
And that's the in-universe fake band California Raisins.
And right then there. They end up in a like a lounge act doing in the 2012 movie Food Fight.
They do seem to be cursed. It does seem like a curse they're going on there.
The curse of the California the Raisins.
I'd say it's the
curse. And now that curse is on us.
The curse of Food Fight.
And now that curse is on you at home. Now you have to start a podcast within 3 days. Or you will die.
So sad, but that's how it goes.
As for our podcast, this is the Rocklopedia Effect Bandica. Respondents to our focus group said that if the Rocklopedia Effect Bandica were people, it would probably be nerdy, wimpy, negative people, not hip.
Not hip at
man.
All.
Oh, wait, no, that was the Raisins. Right.
Thank you for tuning in, folks.
That's right. So I hope we see you next week.
Ta-ta.
You've been listening to the Rocklopedia Fake Bandica, a production of the Van Gogh Sketch Comedy Group. The hosts are Alan Benson, T. Mike Childs, and Charles Rempel, with occasional cameos from Jason Torchinski, Galen Black, and Rob Terrell. Our technical deities are Rob Terrell and Galen Black. If you've enjoyed this, please be sure to subscribe to the Rocklopedia so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you, so leave a review, email us at fakebands@dgg.com, and join our Discord server, Rocklopedia Fake Bandica. Don't forget to visit fakebands.com and the mothership, VGG.com. Thanks for listening.